DW.
The drop is quite significant because dropping 4 points in the score in 1 year is something definitely important for us to focus on. What's happening is that U.S. citizens do not think that the U.S. is showing or having good enough mechanisms to fight corruption effectively. And this is then reflected in the index. And this is a trend. We actually, as Transparency International, at the end of 2017, we had a survey on the U.S. where we could actually see that U.S. citizens were indeed thinking that the trust levels in their institutions was decreasing, and that they thought corruption was more of a problem than it had been in the past.
Are there common traits or warning signs to look for in countries with worsening scores, like Hungary, which I think it's gone down 8 points over the past 5 years, and Turkey, which has lost 9 points?
We are particularly worried about the situation in certain countries, including Hungary and Turkey, as you mentioned, because what we find in these cases is that, in general, the public institutions, they are getting weaker and weaker, and therefore they are less prepared to tackle corruption effectively. And something that is very worrying to us has to do with the shrinking space for the civil society, which, for instance, it's very visible in the case of these countries that we are mentioning here. And also freedom of media and freedom of speech is something that is usually associated with a healthy democracy, etc., and which is also something that is being threatened in these other cases. So those are the signs to perhaps look after.
One thing the index mentions is that populist candidates seeking to undermine democratic institutions often point to problems with corruption as reasons why they should be elected. Are you worried about what the rise of populist leaders, not only in the US but in many European countries, could mean for democracy in the future?
We are definitely very worried. As you mentioned, this is spreading in terms of number of countries, but also spreading in terms of different regions throughout the world. What we are especially concerned about is that we see these populist leaders taking over the anti-corruption fight in terms of narrative. So in their campaigns, this is extensively used. So they acknowledge the threat of corruption and they use it as part of their campaigning process. But then once they get elected, these are not necessarily followed up by specific actions, as we have seen. In some cases, when we have this more populist governments, they take some measures regarding the civil society and the media that are not necessarily aligned with democratic values and what we would expect to see in some of these countries.
And what can be done to strengthen checks and balances in countries where corruption is a real problem, when often the people with the power are implicated themselves?
Well, that's precisely, at some point you need to break that vicious cycle that occurs. And the best way to do it is to ensure that you give the institutions the resources that they need to act and the independence. We need to have the legislation in place. We need the independence of the judiciary system. And we also need to ensure that things happen. One of the criticisms that we often hear when we speak of the fight against corruption is precisely that there is not enough enforcement, and therefore people tend to lose faith because they do not see the consequences for those people that have at some point showed this negative behavior. That is very important, that countries ensure that they have the resources and apply them until the very end of the process, because once you start having some specific examples that, yes, you're acting, then we can start rebuilding this trust that we need amongst citizens to again believe and support their institutions. And so we break the vicious cycle that we were mentioning and try to transform it into a virtuous cycle.
DW.